Darkness and Light, a Nine Worlds story, written by Sun and Glory and read by Calicuria. The story's been rated for audiences teen and up, contains the relationship Artoran Damara, also known as Fitzroy Angersaw, and Cleofer Kip Madang, and has been tagged. No archive warnings apply. Summary. Cleofer Madang has been kidnapped and thinks he's going to die. His Radiancy is never going to let that happen. Chapter 1. Darkness. Cleofer Madang wasn't afraid to die. Hand beaten and bleeding, blindfolded and gagged, hands and feet tied punishingly behind him so that even the slightest movement was agony, he expected death wasn't that far off. Given that he hadn't been given so much as a sip of water since he'd been taken, at least a couple of days ago, he guessed from how parched he was, he doubted that the people who'd taken him were at all interested in seeing him survive. He drew in the shallowest breath through his nose, not wanting to set off another violent coughing. Gagging, really, fit. No, he wasn't afraid to die, but he was terrified that his lord, his Radiancy, might be convinced to go against his better judgment and give in to their demands. Cleofer's life was not worth so much. Not ridiculous sums of gold or jewels from the treasury. Not land grants or titles or trade concessions. Not some great work of magic that wouldn't benefit anyone but those who'd taken him. Not that he knew what they wanted. He didn't even know who they were. But he hoped beyond reason that whatever it was, his lord's response would be, never. Anything else would undermine his Radiancy's government and possibly set off a cascade of additional attacks. Who would they target next? Not Ludwig or Roden. The guards were too smart, too well-trained to let themselves be taken. But the Palace of Stars was full of easy targets. Cleofer whimpered at the thought of Khonju, or Kiri, or one of the junior secretaries being in his position, of Gowdy being in his position. He shuddered at the thought, then shuddered again at the agony that came from the movement. Surely his loss would be worth it if his Radiancy didn't give in, if everyone else was kept safe. Death came to everyone in the end, and Cleofer knew he'd avoided it more times than any one person could ask. He'd survived the fall. He'd survived being captured by tribesmen and pirates. He'd survived terrible illnesses, injuries, and the relentless pounding of 1,000 typhoons. He'd survived committing countless treasons. Not that he regretted any of them. He doubted he'd survived this.
My dear Cap.
Hallucinations were normal when a person approached death. He'd been lost in them before, seen and heard things he knew objectively could not be there. But caught in the dark, unable to move, or speak, or scream, Cleofer clung to the lie that was his Radiancy's words, the sound of his voice. It was better than dying alone.
You are not dying,
his Radiancy told him sharply, fervidly, forcefully. Cleofer couldn't help but laugh, a choking, pained laugh that turned too rapidly into a desperate fight for air.
I'm sorry,
he apologized, not wanting to upset even a hallucination of his dear lord. His eyes were too dry for tears, but he was certain he felt them anyway. They ran down his cheeks, even the one pressed against the floor.
You are not dying,
his Radiancy said again. Softly this time. Gently.
We're going to find you. I promise we'll find you.
Cleofer wanted to drink up the lie like water, but he knew what dying felt like.
I'm sorry, he said again. I'm so sorry.
If only he could see. If only he had a light. If only he had...
You need to stay awake, my dear Cap,
his Radiancy ordered.
If you fall asleep now, I might never... We might never...
Cleofer wanted to answer, wanted to obey his lord's order, but it was hard. So hard. Holding what little breath he could get in, he forced himself to move, to fight against the bonds, to accept the pain of trying as proof he was still awake, still alive.
Oh, my dear Cap.
His radiancy's tone was sorrowful, despairing, near desolate. Couldn't his radiancy now, at the end, simply reach out and hold him? Hallucinations could do that. Surely they could. Clafer's heart ached deeper than any knife could strike, full of sadness and regret and longing, the desperate desire for comfort from his... He'd never held hands, never greeted each other in the traditional way, not by grasping each other's arms in the Ostendalen manner, or by pressing their foreheads together in the Islander one. He'd spent nearly 1,000 years together, and they'd never once touched. Not once. If he had any regrets, it was that.
Oh, my dear Cap,
his radiancy said, tears in his words, running down Clafer's 2 dry cheeks. Clafer could feel them, so real, so raw.
I wanted to. Every day, no, every moment.
Please, Clafer thought. Just once. Under the blindfold, his eyes were shut. He couldn't even try and keep them open. The air pressed down like water, heavy, suffocating, thick in his lungs.
My beloved,
he heard. Tender words, soft words, words he so wanted to be true.
They are true, my beloved Cap. They are.
A brush of a feather against the side of his face. No, the wisp of fingertips, the gentlest fingertips, fluttering across his cheek, over his hair, down his neck, his back. Clafer leaned into the touch, and it didn't ache, it didn't hurt, he didn't scream. Light rippled through him, a soothing tide of wonder, certainty, love. Clafer floated there, buoyed by the soothing waves of his radiancy's touch, cocooned and protected like the shell he'd once found floating in the waters outside the gates of the sea at the end of his long journey home. Home, he thought. Home in the arms of his beloved radiancy. And while he knew objectively he was lost, caught, dying, near dead, all he felt was the soft brush of his dear lord's fingertips through his hair, the soothing warmth of his lord's fire taking every chill away, the rush of his lord's magic cascading joyfully through him as if it, too, had finally, finally found its way home.
I have you, my dear Cap. I'm here, and I love you, and you're safe.
And trusting his beloved radiancy as he always had and always will, Clafer let go. Chapter 2. Light. Clafer startled awake. He shifted against, not bonds, not ties, the warm drape of a silken sheet, the weight of a cloud-light duvet. He shifted and found he could move. He hadn't realized death would come with superlative bedding, but he couldn't complain. The sheets were like magic against his skin. Perfectly warm, perfectly soft, perfectly...
My dear Cap.
Clafer knew he must be dead because he was still hearing him. His lord, his beloved radiancy.
You aren't dead.
The words came with a deep swell of assurance, of fondness, of amusement.
I promise.
Whatever else, his lord's joy was a far better feeling than his sadness had been.
Over a week ago now,
his dear radiancy said.
We freed you, Ludvig and Roden and I. Even Conju came, half the Imperial Guard.
You didn't. Clafer hated needing to ask. A faint hint of guilt.
I admit that I considered it. But then I decided to find you instead.
Thank you. Clafer could smile, so he did. How is this possible? I can feel you. Right here. here being in his head, and in his mind, and in his heart. Not that he had to say it. His lord knew what he meant. He could feel that, too.
I might have, perhaps, twisted the magic of the viceroyship ceremonies.
Oh no, Clafer thought. We don't need to begin them again, do we? His lord coughed hard, and the sound of it wasn't only in his head.
About that.
Clafer opened his eyes at the sharp shock of embarrassment, then had to blink back the sting of tears at the sudden light. Not that the room was well lit. There was a bare handful of mage lights for a space larger than the smallest of his lord's audience halls, and each of them was giving off the merest hint of a glow. But he could see, and that realization sent off more tears. His own, this time. Before he could raise a hand to brush them away, a hand caught his own.
Let me, dear Cap.
Fingertips as soft as feathers danced across his cheeks, brushing the tears away. Clafer turned towards his dear lord's voice without thought, immediately captured, caught, captivated by the shimmering gold of the lion's eyes he so loved. His radiancy sat on top of the duvet a bare few inches away, his long legs curled beneath him in a relaxed sprawl that Clafer couldn't help but admire. He reached up and caught his radiancy's hand before they could pull away. Thoroughly confused but not at all dismayed, Clafer pressed them softly to his cheeks. His lord's hands were warm, so delightfully warm. I could get used to this.
I could get used to you,
his radiancy said, entirely amused. Clafer smiled. His lord, his radiancy, smiled back. An open smile, a brilliant smile, a smile Clafer knew that no one had ever seen on the face of the Lord of Rising Stars. His lord's smile dropped.
About that.
What? Clafer asked, a knot of worry rising unbidden to his throat.
Nothing that isn't going to be fixed now that you're finally awake. We've already arranged things. A few days and you'll be fine. I promise you'll be fine.
His lord's rambling words were in no way comforting. His guilt and embarrassment far too loud, too resonant in the surging sea of emotions and thoughts connecting them. Clafer pulled his radiancy's hands into his lap, wrapped his own fingers tightly around them, clinging to them, to him, for reassurance.
Tell me.
His radiancy glanced down at their entangled hands. Clafer followed his gaze, eyes catching on a blaze of gold where it shouldn't be. Gasping audibly, he tried to pull away, but his lord was too fast. He flipped their grip so that he was the one clinging to Clafer, refusing to let go. But this only made it easier for Clafer to see the shimmering array of gold marks covering his lord's hands. Brilliantly glowing fingerprints, bright and beautiful patches from where he'd pressed his lord's palms against his cheeks, blazing lines from where he'd clung to him so fiercely. Clafer had long admired the marks his radiancy had left in Ludwig's arms in the wake of his heart attack, but the shimmering gold was even more startling, striking against his lord's dark skin.
So beautiful,
he thought, despite knowing the marks didn't belong there.
You're beautiful, my dearest Gip.
A rush of warmth flooded him. Clafer raised his head to meet his lord's eyes. His beautiful eyes that perfectly matched the beautiful marks on his skin. But how?
I may have given you too much of my magic to keep you safe until I could find you.
His radiancy squeezed Clafer's hands gently, lovingly, a bit ruefully.
And I did find you. That counts for something, I hope.
It counts for everything, Clafer assured him.
You saved me. You saved me first, my dear Cap, from the moment you walked into my study.
His radiancy paused for a long moment, his emotions roiling anxiously.
I can't regret what I've done. I can't. Not when you're here, and alive, and with me. Not when I know you'll only have to deal with the ridiculousness of it all for a few short days.
Cleaver's eyes widened as he connected the dots between his Radiancy's actions, his thoughts, and the gold marks on his skin. He shifted so that he was, once again, the one holding his lord's hands. Without thinking, he flipped one over and kissed the inside of his beloved's wrist. It left the brightest mark yet.
I'm sorry,
he said immediately. Not that he was in the least. He desperately wanted to kiss another mark into being right next to the first, to create a painting of gold on his dear lord's skin. He blushed at the ridiculous thought, fascinated by it, enchanted. He'd never thought of himself as an artist, but...
I'm sorry,
he said again.
I'm not.
His Radiancy, no, his Tor, assured him, exuding delight and desire and desperate want.
I am happy to wear any banners of love you want to shower me with, my dear.
Oh,
Clafer managed.
Are you certain?
He could already imagine a tapestry of gold unfolding across his beloved skin, a radiant sun and a sea of stars and all the Madang patterns to show that he was the Kiea of Cleofer Madang's life and his heart.
Such a vision, beloved.
Tor flopped back on the bed, stretching himself out like a canvas.
You only have a few days. Don't you think you should get started?
The end. Thanks for listening.